see, wasn't with us this morning. Remember the ones traveling? We got a lot of people maybe traveling. I know Wade and Dad are traveling, so remember them this morning. Brother Donnie gave me one, says Brother Mark's got stomach virus. So remember Brother Mark. Also still remember our sister Baxter from Tennessee with the cancer. So remember that. Also Sister Anna Marunga gave me one, said my dad made it through his prostate cancer surgery. He has stage 4 cancer. So, and then she puts, thank God for the miracle and pray for his recovery without any complications. So amen. Keep him on your heart as we pray. Brother Anderson gave me one, says, please pray for my aunt, his dad's, which is his dad's sister. She's got cancer of the mouth, and she's been through about 10 rounds of chemo, and she still needs prayer. So remember those. A lot of people coming up right around this time of the year with a cancer for some reason, so just remember them all as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Remember Brother Chris Long will be preaching this morning, so just pray for him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling on the highways. Remember, Wade and Dad will be traveling. There'll be a lot of people traveling today. Brother Chris will be traveling. Many other people will be traveling. Just bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with the services here. Bless us all. And bless the ones that are sick, Lord. We mentioned here with the cancer. And Lord, whatever the needs are in these situations, the unspoken requests, just be with them and guide them. Bless us, Lord. Most of all, you forgive us for all of our sins, and we love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
For all things are possible, only believe.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this privilege to come and serve you as our only true and living God. We thank you that we have this privilege also to give to your kingdom through the money that we make every week. In honor to thyself, directed to its appointed destination, and have mercy upon all of us, the remainder of the service. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Let's turn to page 217. Can we sing that song, It Is No Secret? Amen. It's no secret what God has done for us in this age. Amen. It's been revealed and we have a testimony about it. It is no secret. Chimes of tongue ring out the news, another day is through, and someone slipped and fell. Oh, was that someone you? Oh, you may have longed for at its strength your courage to renew. Oh, do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. This morning, it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you.
It's a blessing. Many things that he's done for each of us. It may be a secret to many, but it's not a secret to us. So thank God for it. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 66. I want to ask you to remember my sister that lost her grandbaby child. So, and she was 10 years old, she had been sick practically all of her life. So, maybe God bless her and bless the family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we are thankful this morning, Lord, together. Lord, we're thankful that you love us and it's no secret. God, we ask that you help us and give us each strength as we walk each day. Father, open up our hearts and minds for the things we have need of. Lord, for each blessing that come forth, God, we are grateful for it. We ask you to bless those in Sunday school classes, Father, and give them strength that they may grow strong with each lesson they hear, each message. We ask you to bless us here together in the congregation, in the sanctuary. We ask you to bless Brother Long this morning as he prepares to bring unto us, God, the words that we have need to hear. Lord, let us all pray with him and be with him and give us our strength. And all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read from Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands.
Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Though the greatness of the power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee.
All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee, for they shall sing to thy name, Selah.
Come and see the works of God, he is terrible, in his doing toward the children of men.
He turned the sea into dry land, they went through the flood on foot.
He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah.
Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Which holdeth our souls in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved.
For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried.
Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest afflictions upon our loins.
Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
I will go unto thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows.
Which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken, when I was in trouble.
I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings, with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah.
Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul.
I cried unto him with my mouth, and was extolled with my tongue.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. God bless you. May we see it.
Thankful for the mercies of the Lord, amen. He takes care of his children. No matter what situation we go through, he's there to deliver us, amen. Let's turn to page 28 in the Spiral Song Book. Amen. Just to walk in Him, but have Him in us. Amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Oh, give in cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way. So much to love Him for. We wouldn't know the love of God if He didn't love us. Amen. Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. Oh, then Jesus came and He listened to me. Set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm no man.
sin and things that confound. Oh, not of this world shall turn me. Is that your confession? Daily I'm working, I'm praying to filled with love and just trust in that word that he's already done it at Calvary. It's a finished work. Amen. So good to see Brother Hantus here and his wife. It's good to see all the smiling faces. Just shake each other's hand and greet each other in the name of the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord, and we thank him for the opportunity that we can come and hear his word this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and change the order of the service as our brother Chris Long comes this morning. Pull on him this morning. God is here to meet every need. Amen. Brother Brown said the thing we need to pray most for is revelation in this time, that God leads us with his word. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Isn't that what we want? God bless you this morning. It's a real privilege to always be amongst God's children, my brothers and sisters, in the Lord. I don't need to introduce myself to you. Y'all know me. God bless you. I'd like to get right into the message if I could. You know, I'm not known to be long-winded. I know I say that, but who knows what will happen this morning. I've been preaching on, we use the word series. I don't really know if that's the correct word or not, because God's word doesn't have any beginning. It doesn't have an end. So it's really not a series. It's just a continuation. And I've been preaching on the conflict between God and Satan at home, and I just thought maybe because I feel like I'm at home, I just kind of continue on. I do a little background so that you get the gist of where I'm going. And if you take your Bibles while you're standing, I want you to turn to the book of James, if you would. I do have my own glasses this morning, so we're good shape. James chapter 1, I'll just read verse 17. And when you have it, say amen. Of course, I bring greetings from the believers in northern Arizona, and my wife also. She just couldn't travel with me this time, but we'll be back in about 5.5 weeks. Amen. Looking forward to it. Right. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
All right. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, Lord. We're depending upon you, Father. We're relying on you completely and totally this morning, Lord, for you to reveal yourself to us, Father. And by that, we are given to understand, Lord, that we will also come to a conclusion of who we are. Help us this morning, Lord, I pray. Bless your children and their efforts, Father, wherever and whomever they are. For your honor and your glory, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And God's children said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, of course, I want to thank Brother Samuel for having the confidence in me to let me come and minister to you, even though he's not here. I really deem that a high honor. So now, you know, I preach under inspiration, so I'll just have to kind of feel in the direction I'm going to go this morning. But this is part of like the greatest battle ever fought. And whether you know it or not, or whether you like it or not, we're in a fight this morning. Amen. Did you know that? Amen. It's not all peaches and cream. It's a battle. It's a battle for the young and the old, for the free and the bond, for the male and the female. It's a battle. It's a battle for the believer, the make-believer, and the unbeliever. It's a battle. We're in it this morning. But in God beginning to deal with me on this, I thought to myself, because of things that are going on around us and in our ranks, and of course, brothers and sisters, you know that when we're preaching to those of like faith, you understand that the denomination is somewhere way out there on their own, but the Spirit that caused that denomination is trying to work in this house this morning. That's the conflict. Now I started out like this so you can see where I'm going with this, and I'm relaxed. I'll take my time, but the Lord was dealing with me on it, and I looked at the title, "The Conflict Between God and Satan," at Brother Branham preached, and I said to myself, I believe that. I said, but Lord, help me to understand it, because I just can't see God as conflicted. How can there be a conflict between God and Satan when God is supreme? He's the king. He's the creator. He is everything that there is. I mean, let's just face facts. We know that Satan is not going to beat God at anything. But Satan wants us to think that he's beating God at everything. that's his way of working. But then God inspired Brother Branham to preach on this and give this a title, "The Conflict Between God and Satan." I said, "Lord, help me." And as I began to study and preach on it, he began to open it up to me. And so I'm going to use it like this. I'm going to say that the piano here is God. It's not. But I just, and I'd ask a brother and two brothers to come up, but and any brother in here would like for me to put them over here and say, "You're the type of God this morning." But then I've got to put another brother over here and say, "Now you're the type of Satan this morning," and it wouldn't go well. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. So I'm going to say the piano is the type of God, and the keyboard here is the type of Satan. You understand? So we've got one over here and one over here. Okay? Now, Brother Branham, in the message, "Greatest Battle Ever Fought," tells us that, of course, Satan, Lucifer, chose his weapon, and God chose his weapon. God's weapon was the soul, if you want to put it that way, or his part, all right? And Satan chose the mind. Now, they are very close together. They are so close that it would deceive the very elected if possible. and the devil knows that, because he can read the Bible like you and me, all right? But we also know that, because we also have contact with the Word of God. So we realize, brothers and sisters, that the conflict between God and Satan is not the way we think. God and Satan are not fighting one another. Because God doesn't have to fight anybody. But here's where the conflict is. If that piano is God, and that keyboard is Satan, who's in between it? It's a conflict between God and Satan. I'm the conflict. You're the conflict. We are our own greatest enemy. Now, for the sake of time, I will give you scripture and they can put it up on there. You don't have to turn to it unless you want to. But we realize that Ephesians 6:6 tells us that this is not a fight against flesh and blood. So you're not fighting each other. Satan wants you to think you are. Satan wants you to fight me. He wants me to fight you. He wants you to fight your neighbor. He wants you to fight your fellow brother or sister. The next of kin. The people you work with. He especially would like you to fight with the people you're driving down the highway with. Somehow that just... And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. But brothers and sisters, the believer begins to realize that they're not fighting against the person who just cut them off on the road. Once you begin to realize who your enemy really is, let me take it to like this. Now, just prior to God visiting Brother Branham to give him what he needed to preach on the seven seals, God first gave him a dream, and that was a dream that was a large man and a woman, and the man had a three-cornered stick, and he was beating on the woman. This woman was in type Brother Branham's mother, and this man was in type his father. It wasn't his mother and father, we know that. But so then he was given to understand in this dream that this woman was the church. And this man was that Trinitarian denominational spirit that every time she began to rise up and possibly begin to see the wrong of this Trinitarian spirit in this denominational work, he beat her down. He beat her into unconsciousness. And that very same night... That was, by the way, a dream. But that very same night, God woke Brother Branham up early in the morning and began to deal with him on the seals. And, of course, he saw the little birds and then he saw the doves. And that's just right at the end of 1962. But there's a key in here. You see, God gave Brother Branham a test. Did you know that? He warned him when he was on Hurricane Mountain up in the Adirondack Mountains. He said, there's going to be a test for you. Now, he didn't tell him what it was. He just said, there's a trap set. So we know that just a few days later, he was in some meetings, and there was a young couple in the front row or towards the front row that were, we would say, necking. Making out or whatever they were doing, you know, they were crawling on each other and kissing on each other and petting each other. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this morning here in this congregation if there was this two strangers came in and sat down in the front row and then started messing around? I mean, everybody would be appalled. Yeah. Where's the deacons? Who let them in? How'd they get in here? What do they think they're doing in the house of God? In the sanctuary of God? This is what happened. And I'm saying this because the conflict that you and I are in has everything to do with this. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. It wasn't that couple. It was the devil who was anointing them. You see, it's all about the spirit world. But we see, I can't believe they're doing that. Huh? Right. But watch the test of the greatest battle ever fought.
Right.
God told Brother Branham, they're in your hands. Come on. If they were in your hands, or if they were in my hands this morning, just exactly what would we do? Get them people out of here. You're condemned. Do you realize what you're doing in the house of God? But no. Brother Branham proved that morning that he was victorious enough to begin to be used by God to receive the seven seals. He said, I forgive you. They weren't just words. This was the man coming to an understanding that while that couple was in his hands, they could be eternally separated from God, or they could be given an opportunity.
Right.
Now, they probably never took the opportunity, but that's not up to you and me.
Right.
It's up to you and me to find ourselves so wrapped up in God that we could look with these eyes at a situation that is unbelievable practically and say, I forgive you. He won the battle.
Right.
He won the battle this morning. And brothers and sisters, you and I are in the same conflict today, whether we realize it or not.
Right.
We're so, I mean, I'm preaching to myself now, so I don't get me wrong. But we're so caught up in what we see. And we are using that sight for judgment. And we've got to stop doing that. You see, this is a conflict between God and Satan. But we are the conflicted, not God. And Satan thinks he's going to be able to pull this off, by the way. Did you realize that? He knows he's the underdog. But he believes in something so strongly, because the Bible says the devils believe. And Brother Branham said this about that scripture. Sometimes the devil's got more sense than the people that claim to believe God. Because they tremble. The devils believe and tremble. Now, the problem with the devils that believe is what they believe. And how they believe it. Now, brothers and sisters, I thought like this as I began group of messages that God is dealing with me on, that we're all in this fight together, but there's something very unusual about this conflict that is unprecedented. And the unprecedented part of this conflict is, this is the only battle that I can find where the battleground decides who the victor is, not the two contestants. Think about the parable of the sower, Matthew 13. The seed was the word of God. The sower was the Son of Man. But the ground the seed fell on was going to determine whether it brought forth after its kind. You with me? So the battleground, that's me, that's you, is going to determine who's going to win. You see, God is already a winner. Satan is a loser. So you and I are essentially being used to choose the side we'll be on. I'm choosing God's side. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what people think of me. I don't even care what I think of myself. Because I am my own greatest enemy. All right. So you got that. Amen. Now, when I get to this afternoon's service, I'll hit the hard point of this. Because there's a part to it that will open up to us if I can just get through this part. So I wrote this down to help me with you, because I don't get to preach three times a week here, which is fine. I'm just saying, at home, you know, you can just take it and stop and take it and stop and take it and stop. So I wrote this down this morning as I was meditating. If we're going to be victorious, then we need to know that we are on the winning side.
Right.
Now, we should be convinced that God's side is the victorious side.
Amen. Yes.
Then I wrote in parentheses, but some aren't.
Right.
Some aren't sure of that.
That's right.
Okay? And I say it like that because we've got things going on in our. And I'll use it like this for the sake of you knowing and understanding where I'm coming from. The message realm. Those people on this planet that believe God sent a prophet, and that prophet was William Marion Branham, and they contend and sometimes pretend to follow the message. All right? And that's kind of, you know, a conflict. That's part of what Satan's using. Because the pretenders eventually come to a spot in their walk with God, in their following of the word through the Bible and the message, that, wait a minute, this isn't working out for me. I thought it was supposed to be completely changed and I'm still tormented, or this isn't just working out the way. These signs shall follow them that believe. And I don't have any outward signs that I am a believer. Oh, Satan's got you right where he wants you.
Yeah, right.
He really does. Now, we have to overcome that.
Right.
We have to fight that. I have to fight it, and you have to fight it. Remember, it's not against your wife or your husband or your pastor or the church member. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the prince of the power of the air. That's Ephesians 2:2. Now, listen real close. He's just a prince. Now, a prince somewhere along the way is in the lineage to inherit. But if we would look at our modern day society and we would look over into England, where they still have a queen and they still have that royal line, we find out that there's a Prince Andrew and a Prince Harry and a Prince this and a Prince blah, 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 blah. There's all kinds of princes, but only one of those gentlemen truly fits the qualifications to inherit the throne.
Right.
Even though there are others with the subtitle prince.
Right.
My wife was telling me that somebody we know is I don't know what the right word is, but taking this king around the country, introducing him to message churches. This king is from some country in Africa. I laughed. Not much of a king to let some peasant take him around and introduce him to the other believers. I'm not looking for that kind of king. Praise the Lord for his earthly title, but there's one king I'm interested in. Everybody else is a prince. Don't you find it interesting that the greatest warrior of all time, Joshua, was a general?
Yep.
Did you know that's what the prophet called him?
That's right.
A general. Possibly the greatest military mind that walked the earth. Outside of Christ, of course. Because
right.
Yeah. He's the one who said, if you're going to go to war, don't you sit down and try to figure out if you can win it or not. Has anybody ever done that? Have you all ever sat down and figured out, well, I'm in a battle and, I wonder what it's going to take to win. I've never done that. When God called me and I gave my heart to him, I knew I was on the winning side right then. I didn't have to keep researching and try to figure out, you know, just exactly how this is going to work out. I believe that because of God's election, and if I would stay with it, we would win. But I find it interesting that Joshua, In the heat of battle and a little respite in between battles, comes across a man. It looks like a man. Draws his sword and says, "Are you for us or are you against us?" I want you to notice the humility of God. Here's a general asking this man a question. This man answers, "I am the captain of the host of the Lord." Did you notice the humility of God? He didn't say, "I'm a five-star general." He didn't say, "I was a lieutenant colonel." He didn't say, "I was an admiral." He said, "I'm the captain of the host of the Lord." Wow. To me, that's tremendous, brothers and sisters, because God, Brother Branham tells us in one place that that was Jesus Christ in that form. Wow. You see our battle? It's not who we think we are. It's who we are. Now, I entitled the message this morning, "Father of Lights," because I want to go into how we recognize the enemy. And if we can recognize the enemy, then we can certainly recognize our God. Is that right? But I'm going to tell you, our enemy is somebody that we should begin to understand, or the prophet would not have preached it to us. Because a lot of folks like us are going to find ourselves like the other folks that I've mentioned in our ranks, that all of a sudden, after 40 years, and 40, by the way, is an important number, whether you know it or not. It's a number of temptation. You understand? It's like a number also of judgment and so forth. People are beginning to look at the message that you and I, and I say this, that we believe. I could say that we say we believe, but that we believe. And they're going, "Wow, man, I see a mistake here. Ooh, that looks like another mistake. Oh my goodness, there's three. I wonder how many there are." And you can start to look around through the messages that Brother Branham preached, and you can begin to find clerical errors and, you know, errors in our English language. And he was a man. He would say one number, 700 instead of 7,000. And, you know, there's all kinds of arguments and doctrines over that. We're not fighting flesh and blood. So what in the world are we doing looking into what we consider, not we, but people consider to be the mistakes of a mortal man? Brothers and sisters, I'll say this with all the confidence in the world. The very day that God allowed me to hear the call, he'd probably been calling me since I was born. I didn't know that. But just prior to my 22nd birthday, I said, "Oh, something's going on. What is it?" I wasn't raised in a church, was raised in the world, out on the street, come from a separated, divorced family, kind of wild, wasn't looking for God, but praise the Lord, he was looking for me. So thankful that he was looking for me. He was looking for you. And then when we finally got to the place in our life inside of ourselves where we could stop for a minute and go, "What's wrong with me?" That's God. You didn't realize it, but that was the call of God. Saying, "Come home, my child. You can stop wasting your time and your life and your life's energy looking for me, because I'm standing before you. And I'm going to meet up with you." Now, you can make this hard. or you can make this easy. For the first 21 and a half years of my life, I made it hard. And the reason I say that, and somebody say, well, it wasn't my fault that I didn't know. No, I agree. But it would be our fault if we rejected it. When he made that call. And I said, Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner. I love the way Brother Brandon portrays it. He wanted to write him a note, tack it on a tree. That didn't work out. Finally got into the woodshed or the little garage. He said there was a crashed Model A or Model T in there, so it had to be a little kind of a garage shed. And he said, I just want you to know that I've come to the conclusion that I'm a sinner. I can see it. I can see that I've been going down the wrong road all of my life. And I just want you to talk to me. He would say, I just want you to know that there was a conflict going on. But God wasn't conflicted. God had all the angels of heaven right then doing this. Praise the Lord! Another one is answering the call. Right? Because all of the angels of heaven rejoice when one more comes in. Did you realize that? You young folks or you middle-aged folks or you old folks that haven't given your heart completely to the Lord yet, you want to see a festival? You want to see a parade? You want to see a party? Give your heart to the Lord. You won't see it with these eyes. Because Satan is trying to get you to maneuver through your life with these eyes. It's a conflict. So let me finish this. Some aren't sure, so let's take a look at our adversary. Do you know what the word adversary means? Did you know that the word Satan means adversary? Now remember in Revelation chapter 12, we find out that this battle didn't begin down here. This battle began in heaven. Right? It was a spiritual battle in heaven before it ever dropped down to earth. That's why it's still a spiritual battle. But listen to the word Satan. It means adversary. It's taken from the root word adverse. Now, I'm going to say that again. It's taken from the root word adverse. And you shall not add to or take away from. As a matter of fact, did you guys know that in one fell swoop, Satan, using the serpent, both added to and took away from the Word of God? All at the same time. How did he do it? Because he used the word not, which is a negative, that he added into God's word. So he both added to and took away from at the same time. That's why he's Satan, because he adverse. I just got this from the dictionary. The Lord just opened this up to me. A person who opposes or fights against another. An opponent, an enemy. Adverse, turned opposite to. Praise the Lord. You know how God countered that? God countered that with repent. Because what does it mean? I'm going this way now. God knows what he's doing. You see, we're on the winning side. If we'll just follow the combat handbook.
Right.
All right? Can't fail. Adverse. Moving or working in an opposite or contrary direction. So we need to take a look at our adversary. We need to be able to discern who that is. Remember that there are two spirits that would be so close that it would deceive the very elected if possible. One of those spirits is correct, and one of those spirits is the adversary. But they are so close that they're very hard to distinguish one from the other. Can I ask you a question? How far away is your spirit from your soul? It's like me preaching on the on a series. I'll just use the word anyway. Can't find a better one. On the foolish and the wise. Matthew 25, it says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Can I ask you a question? Just how far are you willing to go? Go ye out to meet him. How far? But when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes to us today, we find out that he is here.
Amen. Right. Amen.
We don't even have to move to go out to meet him. Because the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
You see that, brothers and sisters? You don't have to go anywhere. People are going to go, oh, he's over here in the caves. Oh, he's in this city. Oh, he's in this town. Oh, he's in this movement. Well, praise the Lord. He's omnipresent. And he's in me. He's in you. We don't have to rush out and find him. Because he promised that he would be wherever we are. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. We don't have to go anywhere.
That's right. Amen.
Except in our prayer closet.
Right.
He's right there.
Amen.
Still with me.
Amen.
Now remember, brothers and sisters, you forgive me for cutting this all up, but this is a compilation of about 15 or 18 messages. Those two spirits would be so close that it would deceive the very elected if possible. So, brothers and sisters, it's a spirit.
Amen.
It's not flesh and blood. Do you realize, you may not realize this, I'm going to break it down into simplicity. When you're driving down the highway, now I realize I'm talking to a mixed audience, not a mixed multitude. And that did you realize that some of you cause road rage? I know who you are. You're the person in the left lane driving 65 when the speed limit is 75 and you refuse to yield. Has that ever happened to anybody in the room? Well, what happens? You know, and a few kind names come out. You know, I'll be kind of imbecile. Idiot. I mean, we're not going to cuss. We know that. I mean, you just frustration just begins to well up. I'm saying this for a reason. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's not the person driving slow in front of you. Oh, they're anointed. I want you to understand. They're anointed for what? To frustrate. Come on. And I'm using that as a graphic example, but that's in every facet. You know, come on, at the grocery store, who picks the right line? Not me. It's eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Who cares which line you get in? It's going to go slow.
Right.
There's going to be a sticker missing on the. There's no price on that. There's no. And then people are in the one next to you. Move over to the one next to you. And that one starts going fast. And yours is like, it's a spirit.
Right.
You don't realize it, brothers and sisters, but it's a spirit that's anointing the world. Okay? You see that? So then in order for us to be the person in the battle against that, what do we realize? Patience. What's the hurry? Okay, if they want to plug up the fast lane, look for your opportunity to go around them. And that's what Brother Branham said to do, you know. He said when you come up against somebody who disagrees with you, and you know they're off the word, you don't get in their face and start swinging at them. You say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And Brother Branham said, you shake their hand, pass them by. That's what you do on the highway. You just move around them. And then, you know, who's, I'm a fool for Christ. Who's fool? You know, you guys know that. Remember the two on the sidewalk? And then the guy blocking the highway says, I don't move for anybody. And the man says, well, I do. And he just walks around him. You know, he says, I don't move for a fool like you, you know. You see, we're in a battle.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, we have the truth.
Amen.
We have the end time message.
Amen.
But how are we using it? Are we using it as a weapon? It is a sharp two-edged sword, I'll agree with that. But it's more like a scalpel. It's more like a scalpel than it is some big instrument to bludgeon people with. It cuts. Coming and going. God's word is so powerful that it can cut you as it's going in and heal you as it's coming out. And guess what else it does? It leaves no scar. You see, divine healing was a glimpse of that. You realize that we have to believe in divine healing. And I remember saying something to somebody recently and they got me. I said, well, we have to love them, don't we? And he looks at me and he says, have to? Well, I mean, I didn't mean it the way that I said it, but the way that it came out was, he said, you mean we have to? No, we just do. We just do. And that's what it's coming down to, brothers and sisters. We have the most powerful weapon on planet Earth. As a matter of fact, here's how powerful the weapon is. In the conflict between God and Satan, page 8, down at the very bottom of paragraph 55, don't you think that God, seeing what Satan would be, what Satan would do, he gave to his children and provided for them the best thing that could be provided for them. To knowing what the enemy's attack would be, God fortified his children. See, we take the war when a general goes out to meet another general in war. And this general, if he's a real true citizen of this nation that he represents, and he surely would be to be a general. First thing, he studies the enemy's attacks. That's what we're doing. He knows what he's going to do, how he's going to work, because he kind of went over and spied out.
Right.
I know they got it up there now. Good. I'm going to read the next paragraph for a reason. We got spies everywhere. You know. There's American spies in England. There's American spies in France. And you wonder what's going on in our government today, huh? There's German spies here, and there's no matter how friendly we are, we still got spies. And we're spying out some kind of a nuclear weapon. Then we find it, take it back to the country. Then what it is, they get ready. When war does come, they know how to attack their enemy. We're in a war. So we need to know how to attack our enemy. It's not the kind of fight, brothers and sisters, that we view in our natural realm. Now, we all know that Jesus, when you can keep that up there, brother, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Brother Branham tells us, and we see it in the Bible, that he did not use one supernatural weapon at his disposal. That's so unlike you and I when we are looking for every supernatural weapon at our disposal to use. God Almighty said, but it's also written. The best weapon we got. But it's also written. And it's not just the word in that form. What it is understanding how that word is placed. If it's being properly used or misused. Because Satan quoted him the word for word here. He never added a verse. So it didn't look like he was the enemy. When they're adding a verse or taking away one, you and I say, wait a minute, that's not what he said. But when the enemy is taking the word and quoting it verbatim, but taking it out of context, misplacing it, misconstruing it, misusing it, ooh, it gets a little tighter. You really have to have a revelation in order to truly understand the use of the word. Not just the fact that it is at your disposal. Still with me? All right? He says, paragraph 58, it looks like, God knew this great warfare was coming on between right and wrong. He knew what the enemy was going to do. He knew just exactly how to equip his people. So if we notice, the very first thing that God equipped his children was being infinite. He knew what it took to defeat Satan anytime. I love this. Any place, anywhere, on any conditions. I love that. That right there tells us we're on the winning side. Now, he wouldn't say, listen now, he wouldn't say, I'll give them something here, and then a few years later, I may study out something better to give them, and then after a few... And brothers and sisters, that's happening. I contend that I know brothers who have been preaching this message for 40 or 50 years, and they're beginning to think that it's time for us to go back to the Bible. Watch how slick the devil is, though. Doesn't that sound good, Brother Luis? It's time for us to go back to the Bible. I contend, brother, when did you leave it? I don't believe the message of the hour is separate from the Bible. I don't believe that. If you don't, it's okay with me. I love you anyway. But I will shake your hand and pass you by. Because I'm not looking to go to the moon or Mars or Venus. I'm not looking for the Sputnik to find the center. Did you realize Brother Branham told us that that's what Einstein was looking for? Through his mathematical equations. That's what science is looking for, sending out these trillion dollar satellites. If I could just convince them, Brother Luis, that what they're looking for is the Welsh revival, I'd like 10% of all their spending. We'd all be on Easy Street. They're spending trillions of dollars looking for God when God is in his people. You see the conflict going on? Brothers and sisters, science is trying to convince us that there's not a God. When Brother Branham said science only by their own actions eventually proves. And we're not looking for proof, are we? I'm not. I just believe it. I mean, I tell people this, and it's not on me. I just want you to know the way I think, so that you'll understand when I'm preaching to you how I see things. The same God that saved me, the very same day, told me, this is my prophet. I sent him to you. Take heed to what he is saying. I'm not looking for the mistakes of William Marion Branham, because this message is really not about William Marion Branham. It's about Jesus Christ. But God used William Marion Branham to bring that word. I'm not looking for the humanity. I got saved from that, brother. I'm looking for God. And God is in his word. Yes, Brother Branham was a human being, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world, speaking lies, full of trouble and short of days. And you might wonder why I'm saying this morning. I know you believe the way that I believe, but the devil, in the form of a spirit, is going to try to anoint everybody in this room to get them to begin to doubt something, somehow, some way. That's his job. And if he can't get you to doubt the letter, he'll get you to doubt the postman who brought it. It is not the post... Forgive me, Brother Wade, wherever you are. It is not the postman's fault that he's bringing you a return registered receipt letter that you've got to sign from the IRS. It might not even be your fault. But when you get it, man, I'm going down to the post office and I'm going to knock them all out. You know, you and I don't have to worry about that, right? The postmen do that to each other. They get so frustrated with the negativity that they're involved in. So you see how the ministry is? The ministry is just God's postman. Delivering a message from God. Of course we're filled with mistakes. God knows that. But you know what's really wonderful about the God we serve? He don't care. Because he made a way. For us mistake-ridden children of his to be perfect in his sight. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Which it won't be long before they begin to remove that. You don't realize it, brothers and sisters. It's a spirit. And it's not. It's like, well, people say, well, it's not here, brother. It's everywhere. It's not subject to confinement. You see, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, didn't he?
Yes.
In Joel. Watch how close this is. Do you know that when Eve conceived and had Cain, she's a type of the church.
Right.
What does she say? I've gotten a man from the Lord.
Right.
Now, you and I have been informed through God's postman, the prophet of God, that because all life comes from God, Eve said that by that revelation that she had. But what was her revelation? Was it that she had gotten Cain from the Lord, or that all life comes from the Lord so she could make that statement? Ooh, how close is that? It's really tight. And this is me now. Can I be me for a minute? I want to give you a contention, since I'm on the contending for the faith. I truly believe that because Cain heard his mother, his church, say, I've gotten a man from the Lord, somewhere along the way, Cain took that as a vindication. I want you to think about the way we are now. Come on. We're all men and women and boys and girls from the Lord. But what's the revelation of that statement? You see what I'm saying? And I truly believe. Now, again, this is me. I want you to, it's not a doctrine. But I think the way I understand humanity, that Cain began to feed off that. And he thought he was righteous in killing Abel. Because he was a man from the Lord. Yeah? His mother told him that. I got a man. And he probably fed off of that. And he said, who in the world does this Abel think he is? Look at my sacrifice. Look at the beauty of it. Look at the effort I put in. Look at the toil. Look at the. As a matter of fact, the Bible, he's quoting the Bible now. This is how sharp he is. He says we're supposed to, the earth is supposed to bring forth after its kind, and we're supposed to tend to it. I'm the gardener. Think about it. And he brings flowers and fruit and just a lovely bouquet. I imagine that altar was pretty awesome. Monet couldn't do it with his brush. You know what I mean? And you know he got wroth. Only because his sacrifice was not as accepted as Abel's. You see, the Bible tells us that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent. Ooh, that rubbed him. You see the battle we're in, brothers and sisters? We got to stop looking with these eyes.
Yeah.
There is a different eye that God's asking us to use. You see, when you go to Genesis, just leave that up on there, brother. But when you go to Genesis, you find out that the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was pleasant to the eyes. Is that right? That's scripture. Now, I'll just be as vanilla as I know how to be, but that's the reason why pornography is where it's at. The Bible says it's pleasant to the eyes. Just can't take their eyes off of it. I know there's children in here, so I'll stop right there. But the adults understand. You love him? I'll go a few more minutes. Yes. I got this afternoon, so. Are you all right with that?
Amen.
So let's go down. Paragraph 60. But God at the beginning gave his children the atomic weapon. Did you realize that you have an atomic weapon? Because he's the infinite God. Now, seeing there was going to be a conflict and there was going to be a battle, God equipped his children with the right kind of ammunition. Right kind of an attack. Right kind of everything that they had need of. What would sweep them all the way from Eden to the rapture. What was it? The Word. The Word.
Amen.
That's what defeats Satan, is the Word. It'll defeat him anywhere, any place. Now, why do we want to substitute something else when we've already got the best thing there is? The Word. But the next phase of this message is going to give you a little insight. I'll use the word illumination or enlightenment to what the Word really is. We think it's these letters on these pages. We think it's the printing in this book. We think it's what we're looking at on the screen. And there is a partial truth to that. But what really is the Word? That's where this really gets nifty. All right? First of all, I'll take that this afternoon. Let me go here. Let me find my bits of notes that I have, if you'll just bear with me. I got them in here. Oh, excuse me. I'm getting a little bit more sophisticated, Brother Joseph. He texted me last night and said, could you email me your quotes and your scriptures? And I said, how in the world? I did. I texted him back. How in the world can I email you the thoughts that are in my mind? We're getting there, but I'm not there yet. So I thought of some of the scriptures that I was going to use, and I thought of some of the messages that I was going to quote out of, and I gave him that much, which is certainly not enough. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
I want you to listen now to what the prophet is saying to us. And to me, this is God talking to us. Not William Branham is God. No. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, it's come down to this. The very words that he spoke were what represent God. And if a man is behind the pulpit and God is using him, he's on the same. That's why he said, I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. Captain? You mean you've only made the rank of captain? In the message, there is a man who can turn on the light. Brother Branham says, that's the same thing. Brother, that'd be paragraph 75, probably in the middle of paragraph 75 that I gave you. There is a man who can turn on the light. I'll just start reading it. That's the same thing it is in the Word, see? The Word is God. But remember, God's not a bunch of letters. The Word is God. And when the life strikes it, it brings it. Light strikes it. It brings the word to life again. Every age has always been that. Oh, how we appreciate these great things. How that the word being vindicated is the light of the spoken word. See, God said, let there be light. Is that right? Genesis 1:3. Now, what if he just said it and no light come? Then we don't know whether it's true or not. Come on, I'm reading the prophet's word. Then we don't know whether it's true or not. So all of the things that are said in these publications that we believe are God's words, let there be light. We really don't know if this is the truth or not. I'm just reading what the prophet said. Yeah. Now, what if he just said, let there be light, and he said it, and there was no light come? Then we don't know whether it's true or not. We don't know whether he is all right. We don't know whether he is God or not. Because he just said, let there be, and there wasn't. See? Now, if you could put yourself in the mindset of how Brother Branham is bringing this, you could begin to understand what the word really is. Brother Branham says this in other messages. It might be in here also. God said, let there be light. And it could have been trillions, trillions of years. But you see, God didn't stop and look over his shoulder every 10 minutes and say, I wonder if it's going to happen. No, he said, let there be light. And he just kept moving forward because he knew the power of his spoken word was going to, in its time, produce light behind him.
Amen.
That's why the messenger's not here anymore. Because what he said was going to begin to produce, if it was the word of God, a manifestation of itself. That's why we love to read John 1:1 so much. Isn't that right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we might not know if it was so or not, but the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word made flesh was based on prophecies, for instance, like Isaiah. Now, I probably have said this before here, but I want to make an emphasis because the devil is fighting us, and we don't even know it. We think everything is just whoop. He's fighting us. How? Well, Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Can I ask everybody in here how long they think the generations after he said it began to drop off? Isaiah said, let there be light. Uh-oh. Right? I mean, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, there were no doubt, because of the recognition of the definition of a prophet, people following Isaiah. Woo! Isaiah is a man of God, I'm telling you. You should have seen what he did. He said this and this happened, and he said this and this happened, and he said this and this happened. He laid hands on this person, and they got well, and this cancer fell off, and, you know, of course, I'm going to fast forward, and all these things happen. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Oh, man, that's scientifically impossible. But I believe it anyway. Okay? But then the children. And then the grandchildren. And then the great-grand. Now, God don't have grandchildren, but we do. And then the great-grandchildren. So, one generation, two generations. So, how many people were left 740 years later? Do you know that in between the prophecy of Isaiah and one young lady recognizing that it's still true? People were dropping like flies. Think about why this is going on in our ranks today. People are dropping out. They're either saying, well, Brother Branham's God. He's not God. He comes under the atonement. He couldn't be. That should settle it right there. But there's thousands of things you can say. He was a man God used. Brothers and sisters, God is no respecter of persons. God wants to use you and me just like he used the prophet. Not in that position. But in the way that he believed, in the way that God's word could manifest itself through your life, even if it's this simple. Brother Branham would mention, oh, Brother Branham, I don't have a position in the church and I'm really nobody and I don't have any. He said, but you might produce a child who would produce a child who would be the next Billy Sunday. See what I'm saying? So we all have our place in our position. We all have our portion in the economy of God. But the devil is trying to convince us that we're either worthless or we're worth so much we ain't got no room for him. I meet people like that. Wonderful people. Awesome preachers. And I'd think, if they just left a little bit of room for Christ, man, they'd be incredible. But they're so full of themselves. There's just not enough room for Christ in there. And if there is, it's just a tiny little speck. And they think like, behold the man. You've met him. I mean, I've come across him. And then you got people who go, oh, like Brother Jewel. Oh, wowsy, wowsy, woo. I don't know if I'll ever get it done. I don't know if this is going to work out for me. You know, it's like that old cartoon guy, it'll never work. I remember the guy in the cartoons and I was like, it'll never work. He would say. He had the wowsy, wowsy woos, apparently. But that's not what God wants. He wants you and I to come to an understanding of why he did what he did. And he did it to express himself through his attributes. Now, can I ask you a personal question? Who are his attributes? So I like, that's right. I like to say it like this. So here's God before the foundation of the world in his own mind, before there was a molecule, and he is expressing himself through his thoughts, and he says, I'm a healer. I'm going to express that attribute. And he asked Job, where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy before the foundation of the world? I'll tell you where he was at. He was in the mind of God. And this is, brothers and sisters, were his attributes. I want you to think about this. Were his attributes so much so, we're so in tune with God. Why? Because we came from God. And we have gone back to God, whether we realize it or not. And in that expression of his word, I am a savior. I am a healer, right? Nobody'd been sick. Nobody had been lost. How did this all come about? People think, well, God decided that he would make a list of names and put them on a book. And then he'd begin the ball rolling so that he could express himself. Well, there's some truth in that. But let me tell you a little bit more about God. Let's get intimate with him. In God were his attributes, which are you and I. So when that great God in his mind said, I'm a healer, but nobody's sick, I can just see one of his attributes in the back part of his mind raise up their hand and go, I'll go down. I'll be sick. Not knowing what sickness is. I'll go. I'll be sick so you can express yourself. I'll go. I'll be lost. But here's the beauty of it. Because we were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and we knew who he was, we knew where we came from, we know where we're going, it's not a problem. I don't mind being lost. I don't mind being sick because I want him to express himself through his attribute. But now we've turned a corner, brothers and sisters, and God's plan is coming to a close in that portion of it. And now we're realizing that we were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and sickness is nothing except the expression of the attribute of healing. You with me? Being lost? No problem, because we're found. See, being sick, no problem, because he provided a way for us to be healed. And it's all through faith. The most misunderstood action on planet Earth. The definition of faith is so against the grain for you and me Because the definition of faith is a belief in something for which there is no proof. That's why they say, prove God. I don't have to. I believe him. I don't need to prove God. I believe him. Must be a tough tablet. You still with me? You know what? I'm going to close in 5 minutes. I just love him. I just love him. Let me finish reading that part. If this thing turns back on. Oh, it's still working. Now, what if he just said no light, paragraph 76? Then we don't know whether it's true or not. We don't know whether he's all right. We don't know whether he's God or not, because he just said, let there be, and there wasn't. And then when God speaks and we see it, then that's the light. I want you to get this. So then when God speaks and we see it is, I want you to notice, it doesn't just say we see it. It says we see it is. Then that's the light that shines forth the truth. I love this. The truth. Is that what it says? The truth of the word. Wait a minute. I thought the word and the truth were one and the same. This is the truth of the word. You see, this is the word. But the manifestation of it is the truth of the word. That's the reason why Brother Branham can get up and challenge everybody. I challenge you to find something that God said through me that missed it. He did it on every single message, practically. For you and I, it was like, wow, he just keeps saying it over and over and over and over and over and over. Apparently, that's the way God has to work with us human beings. Because even on the road to Emmaus, he had to revisit what the scripture said he was. But he started out with, oh, fools and slow of heart. See what I'm saying? Our brothers and sisters, we've come to a place in the plan of God where we should be surpassing that. It's well beyond the countdown. So when God speaks and we see it is, then that's the light that shines forth the truth of the word. See, there is light and life. All natural life comes by his spoken word. We know that. Sun is his spoken word. He said he created a great light in the heavens for the day and a lesser light for the night. And all the natural life has come by God's spoken word. A flower can't grow without the light of God's spoken word. Shine upon it. For the sun, the S-U-N, is the spoken word of God. When he said, let there be light, see, it's God's spoken life. And no matter how much people try to say this, that, or the other, it still remains the same. You have to have that sun, so life, natural, can only come by the spoken word of God. And spiritual life, here we are, eternal life can only come by God's spoken word of life. Life was the S-O-N this time. In him is light, and in him is no darkness. He is God's spoken light. Is that right? God's spoken word, for in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and it's forever God. And it takes the light of God to strike the word to make it live. Here is what he spoke. Brother Branham pats his Bible. Now let the light shine. Amen. Let the light shine, and the light will bring every word to its right position in its season. Did you get that?
Yes.
What season are we in? Brothers and sisters, did you realize that Satan is so shrewd that he declared himself an angel of light? The very word Lucifer means light bearer. And in 1 John chapter 1, it says God is light. Ooh, how are we going to know, brother? Here's a light over here, and here's a light over here. Well, let me tell you how we know. Satan will appear through natural light that you can see with this eye. And God only appears when he wants to.
Right.
That's why he allowed his picture to be taken with the prophet in Sam Houston Coliseum in 1950. Now remember that picture. Brothers and sisters, anybody who comes to me and says, I see too many mistakes in the message and I think we have to get back to the Bible. Huh? Like I said, the first thing I ask is, when did you leave the Bible? If you've got to go, you mean to tell me you've been preaching for 40 or 50 years and you've been off the Bible the whole time? I don't buy it. I'm not looking at that kind of light. I'm looking for a supernatural light. Did you realize that if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that you have a supernatural light in a cavity in the middle of your heart muscle about the size of my finger or butt? Well, head down to the hospital this afternoon, would you, and have them cut you open and look for it. They won't find it. They won't see it. Yet, it's there. Of course, if you have the Holy Ghost, and that's what we're looking for. I'm not looking for the Holy Ghost through the actions of Pentecost. I'm looking for Pentecost's actions through me. And I'm talking 2,000 years ago. I had a man recently tell me that, oh, Brother Branham didn't fulfill Malachi 4:5. You see, he's like John the Baptist. He turned the hearts of the fathers to the children, but he hasn't turned the hearts of the children to the fathers yet. And I said, beg your pardon. He said, you're going to quote me one? And I said, no. But I'm here to tell you that my heart's already been turned back.
Right.
To the original Pentecostal. Fathers, it's too late. You can't feed that to me. And I know you represent the same thing. Please stand. Thank you for your time. It's pretty cut up, but like a puzzle. I can just flip over a few pieces and try to put them together for you. There's a much bigger picture than this. God's Word had no beginning. And it'll have no end. But what about the Bible, brother? It's only 2,000 years old. Oh, I'm not talking about that word. I'm talking about the Word made flesh and dwelling amongst us. The action of God's Word. That's what we're interested in, brother, sister. Not just the education of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we realize, Lord, that it's not easy, Father, to be able to, for me at least, Father, to be able to bring eternal thoughts down into a point in time, Lord. But Father, if we could just shed a little light, Father, upon the words that you have spoken, Lord, so that we could see ourselves in the reflection, Lord. Right now, we're just seeing ourselves as a shadow of a shadow. The prophet of God taught us as that shadow gets closer to the light, we began to see the outline of its image. We began to understand just kind of what object it is, Lord. But we're given to recognize, Father, through the message of the hour, that we're not just to stay a shadow. But Lord, we're to become the light as you are the light because you're the Father of lights, Lord. We believe that with all our hearts, Father. We realize, Lord, that the Bible tells us that we become the light as we walk in it, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd bless your children in their efforts this morning, Father, and for putting up with me, Lord, and the broken words. But we realize, Father, that your body was broken for a reason, Lord. And we can just take one portion of it at a time when we serve the Lord's Supper, Father, realizing that that kosher bread is not the literal body of Christ, Lord. Then neither are these letters on these pages, but there is a mystical body of Christ that's developing from them, Lord. And we realize it's the truth, Father. Give strength and encouragement to your children, Father, as we move forward. We'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory and the praise in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God's children said again.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Brother Terrence. God bless you.
give our brother a hand. Anybody's got a need, the altar will be open. So we'll sing a song and then we'll be dismissed.
Let's sing that song, Victory in Jesus, page 22.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
To victory beneath the cleansing flood.